We continue seven lines up from the bottom on Chaf Beis, Amud Beis. We've been discussing up till this point different halachas of bestiality as it pertains to the animal belonging to an idolater and the relationship that idolaters have with their animals, males with female, with male animals, with female animals, females with male animals, and with females. Now the Gemara asks, moving off from cows or basar behema, now the Gemara asks about poultry. What about birds? Is there the same concern about revia bestiality with birds? Tashma, da amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel mishum Rabbi Chanina, ani ra'isi over kachavim shalakach avus. I saw an idolater who took a goose min hashuk from the marketplace. Riva, he performed bestiality. Chanka, then he choked it to death. Tzala, roasted it, va'achla, and then ate it. All in a day's work. Va'amar Rav Yirmiyah midifti, ani ra'isi aravi echad, I saw an Arab, so not an idolater. Shalakach yarech min hashuk, they took a thigh from the marketplace. V'chakak ba kedei revia, so he took the thigh of a bird, we assume, or a thigh of an animal, and then it sounds like he fashioned it in a matter to use for sodomy, rava, and then he used that to sodomize tsala, and then he roasted it and ate va'achla, and he ate it. Either way, it's disgusting. Bottom line is that the Gemara says there is a concern of revia by birds as well. And therefore, if it gets into the hands of, or if an animal or a bird is owned by an idolater, you have to be careful about purchasing an animal from them. And that's what that was the opinion of the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah originally said, "Ein maminin behema bepundiko shel ovek hachavin," that he shouldn't place an animal in the pundiko, in the stable of an idolater. And even though we had a brisa which said you can purchase it from them and we're not concerned about Raveh and Nirva, so the way that Rav wanted to reconcile that, Rav said, well, it's talking about an idolater. When the concern of putting it in their stable is for an idolater, but you can purchase a behema from them because we're not concerned that they're going to lose out on all that income by selling it to a Jew, or by not being able to sell it to a Jew as a result. In other words, Rav said it's a problem for a Jew to put their animal or his or her animal in the stable of an idolater, but to purchase an animal from an idolater, that would be okay. So that was the first possible way to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. Ravina comes along and offers a second possibility. Ravina Amar Lokasha, Halachadchila Hadi'eved. The Mishnah and the Braisa are referring to two different cases. One is a lechadchila, one is don't place the animal in the stable. But if you did it, if it was placed in the stable, then it would be okay to purchase the animal from an idolater. So it asks the Gemara, Umina Temra Deshani Ben Lechadchila Ben Ledieved. Where do you see there's such a distinction between a Lechadchila and a Dieved? That placing it there originally versus not placing it there in the first place versus placing it there and then after the fact, whether you assume that there was any revia, any bestiality or not? Says the Gemara, it's not. We have a Mishnah. Our Mishnah, Losis Yachet Isha Imahim, Bibni Shechashir Malarayos. On the one hand, our Mishnah says that a woman shouldn't seclude herself with an idolater because we're concerned about an illicit relationship. Uraminu, Haisha Shenech Mashabide Ovid Kachavim, Aide Mamon, Muteras Labala, Aide Nefashos Asura Labala. Focusing on the monetary aspect, if a woman is taken captive by an idolater because of a financial claim that he has on her husband, we don't assume that they were together. She would still be allowed to be intimate with her husband. How could that be? Elalav shma mina, says the Gemara, it must be shani lan bein lechachila l'diavid. Lechachila, a person shouldn't seclude themselves with an idolater. But b'diavid, once they were secluded, we don't have to assume that there was an illicit relationship. Now, if you stop here for a moment, the Gemara sounds a little strange because the Gemara seems to imply that there was a if the woman would have been raped by the, or had an illicit relationship, I'm sorry, with the idolater, then she wouldn't be allowed to stay remain with her husband. Well, first of all, if the woman is not interested in having a relationship with this idolater, and she was raped, then she would certainly be allowed to remain married to her husband. It's only if she did it barasso and she willingly had an affair with this idolater, then she wouldn't be allowed to have to stay married to her husband. Rashi says that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a case of an Eishes Yisrael who had potentially had relations with an idolater. Tosos has a different understanding. Even Rashi brings it up. Tosos says we're talking about the wife of a Kohen. And the wife of a Kohen, whether it's willingly or unwillingly, if she is raped, she can no longer be with her husband. And that might make a little more sense for the flow of the Gemara. Either way, the Gemara has now made a distinction between Lechachila and B'dievet to support Ravina's way he reconciled the Mishnah and the Braisa. But the Gemara says, Mimai, why are you saying that's the case, that is, one is B'dievet and Lechachila, where this woman is being taken captive by an idolater? Dilma la'olam eimalacha filu di'eved namilo. Maybe I'll tell you that B'dievet, they wouldn't even be allowed to stay married if they were intimate. V'hachahainu taima. Why? Because we're going to assume that they were together. But v'hachahainu taima. But why here? Are we not afraid that they were intimate, or there's a chance that they weren't intimate? Dimisyari mishim hefsin mamono. The guy is who took the woman, his wife, captive, is doing it for monetary purposes. If he sleeps with this woman, he's going to lose out on all that money. He doesn't care about the woman, he cares about his money. And therefore, there is no reason to say that there's a distinction between a lechachila and a b'dievet. In general, we'll say once she's secluded with an idolater, she can't be intimate any longer with her husband. She can't be married. But the concern is, in this case, where there's an exception because he's in it for the money. Teda, and how do you know he's in it for the money? I'll prove it to you. The Ketani Seifa, Aide Nefashos Asur Labala. If there was a capital punishment case or there was an issue of Nefashos, it was a life or death situation, then we would assume that the idolater did sleep with the woman, raped her, whether it was a case of rape or not. She would be prohibited to be with her husband. But when it's money, he's more concerned about the money than being intimate with the woman, Visula Midi, and there's nothing more to say, says the Gemara. So therefore, Ravina's proposed solution to the contradiction in the Braisa from our Mishnah is not a good one.